today. BBC News.
Now on Radio 4, the classic serial. Titus's flight from Gormenghast opens up a whole new world where he's vagrant, criminal and lover.
Gone the outline of my mountainous home. Gone that torn world of towers. Gone the labyrinth that fed my dreams. Gone boyhood. Gone Gormenghast. All gone. But for a single fragment from the world I had deserted, in my pocket, a small egg-shaped stone from the Tower of Flints.
Tell me, Titus, why did you leave Gormenghast?
When you draw or paint a place that resembles my memories of Gormenghast, it lacks only one thing.
Which is?
An understanding of what it was to live in that vastness of crumbling masonry. To be ruled by an unceasing ceremony, my marrow and my bane. My world was a prison. I had to escape. Suddenly, and under my breath, I had to say goodbye. I wanted to know.
Know what?
Whether there was any other place apart from the universe that was the backdrop to my history.
The History of Titus Groan by Mervyn Peake. Dramatised by Brian Sibley. With Luke Treadaway as Titus and David Warner as the artist. Titus Abroad.
I'm riding a horse. Digging my heels into her flank, I gallop into perdition. The memory of my mother's voice.
There is nowhere else! You will tread a circle, Titus Groan!
Titus Groan, the abdicator, the deserter, the traitor to his birthright, the shame of Gormenghast.
There is not a road, not a track, but it will lead you home! For everything comes to Gormenghast!
I am Lord Titus, 77th Earl of Gormenghast. But I am more than that. I am an adventurer. I am ready to use my wits in a foreign world. I am ready for love or hate. Ready for anything.
Ahead, a series of exotic yet almost abstract landscapes. Gold shores, cold shores, regions thigh bone deep in sumptuous dust, lands as harsh as metal, places where a traveller's footfall clangs on stone, others where it is a barely audible whisper. An eagle watches from a rock, and far away, a hyena laughs.
Alone, yet not alone. Constantly pursued, dogged, shadowed, always at a distance.
Faceless figures in military uniform and plumed helmets, armed with scythe-sharp blades moving like automata in almost total silence. Almost, but not quite.
And their superior, the policeman,
with his jutting jaw and gimlet eyes.
Report from Inspector Eggblade. Shadowing a suspect. A youth, not known in these parts. Currently in the wasteland, a wilderness knuckled with ferrous mountains, populated with termites and jackals. For days, the suspect has been tumbling ahead of me in a sandstorm. Vague shape, sometimes I lose him altogether. Sometimes I all but find myself beside him, and I'm forced to retreat a little way. He is now heading down towards the river.
Many days, possibly weeks later, tired and hungry, in a small boat with a single oar, the ragged youth is being carried towards an unimaginable vista. Silver spires, shimmering arches, glass walls, crystal domes.
A city. Yes. Yes, I think so. Nothing like Gormenghast. Not real. Dreaming.
Mm-hmm. What's this half-drowned bundle of rags?
A portrait of daunting muscularity. A great, gaunt, rudder-nosed man. Square-jawed, long-limbed, and with a face like crumpled leather.
What have you dredged up here?
Well, Mr. Muzzlatch, I was out with my nets when what I takes for an empty boat comes bearing down on me. This was inside. Dead to the world, but half alive.
Let's see. Well, what it is, I have no idea. But it has a pulse.
Looks like others are interested in him.
The silent stalkers with their glittering helmets.
I hate them. Into the chariot with it. Quick!
Muzzle Hatch's chariot. An ancient car, more animal than machine, snorting like a horse. A bone-rattling contraption of tarnished brass and mildewed leather, with a bonnet the colour of blood and a sun-bleached crocodile skull fixed to the radiator cap.
Where am I? What is this thing?
It's a car, you pauper. What did you think it was?
It stinks.
True. She's a bitch and smells like one. Anyway, who are you? And where are you from?
I don't know. Can't remember.
Go back to sleep, then. Time to talk later.
Titus, can't you remember?
I can remember everything except the way.
The way where?
The way home.
Home?
Where the dust gathers and the legends are. I have lost my bearings.
You have the sun and the North Star.
But is it the same sun? Are the stars of Gormenghast?
You have what is tightly clutched in your hand.
My flint. So hard and cold.
Cold, hard proof that whatever you discover in the future, you once had a past. A room full of light.
Hello there, young ruffian. Are you awake?
Yes.
Sit up, then. Here's your breakfast. You must be as hollow as a kettle drum. Never known a scarecrow sleep so long.
How long?
19 hours. What's your name, boy?
Titus Groan.
And have you remembered where you come from, Titus Groan?
Gormenghast.
Yes, that's the word. Gormenghast.
What do you mean?
If you said it once, you said it 20 times.
In my sleep?
Over and over. So where is this place, this Gormenghast?
I don't know. But then I don't know where I am now either.
You are at Muzzle Hatch's.
Sounds like a zoo.
Well, it is. And if I'm not mistaken, the mule and the camel are at it again. Come on!
Back your great beast!
Can you get a rope around it now?
Watch his teeth! Get the hose! Yeah.
Look out for the hose!
Sunlight, lying like a gold gauze over the zoo. The bars on the cages, rods of gold. The cobblestones, gold ingots. The incongruous setting for a mortal struggle between two gilded beasts.
Get out of the way! Give me that hose!
In that camel is all the camels that have ever been, blind with hatred, fighting a world of mules.
My inordinate friends, I know when you smell one another, you grow restless, then you grow thoughtless, then you go too far. Turn off the hose. Now, listen to me. Camel, whatever the temptation, you have no excuse for charging the iron bars of your cage or having broken them down to vent your spleen on this mule. Mule, it is not for you to seek this rough and tumble, nor to scream with such unholy lust for battle. I will have no more of this. I have fed you, scratched your backs, cleaned out your cages, kept you safe from the carnivores, and what have you done for me, huh? Ah. Oh. The ingratitude. Now, back to your cages, or by the yellow light in your wicked eyes, I'll have you shaved and salted. Ah, and back now to my young scallywag from the river.
So you are Muzzlehatch?
I am. And you are wondering, no doubt, why I bothered to rescue you. Well, let me tell you, you're nothing more than a soft and rancid egg if you think that I have ever, in my entire life, lifted a finger to help anyone, let alone a bunch of rags out of the river.
Then I'll leave.
But I dislike the police. Those men who are stalking you. I dislike their helmets and their whiff of leather, oil and fur, camphor and blood. I dislike officials who are nothing, my dear boy, but the pip-headed, trash-bellied, putrid scrannel of earth. Out of darkness it is born.
What is?
There is no point in erecting a structure unless someone else pulls it down. There is no value in a rule until it is broken. There is nothing in life unless there is death at the back of it. Death, dear boy, leaning over the edge of the world and grinning like a boneyard.
Boy, you call me boy. I am no child. I have known horror. I have fought. I have killed. I have lost my sister, my father, Nanny Slag and Mr. Flay. I have held a wild creature, a flying thing, in my arms and seen her struck by lightning to a cinder when the sky fell in and the world reeled. I am no child.
Child or man? Please, don't burden me with gratitude.
Don't bother, I won't.
Then go.
Who do you think you are talking to?
Well, who am I talking to? Your eyes blaze like the eyes of a beggar or a lord.
Why not? That is what I am. I am Lord Titus Crone, Earl of Gormenghast.
Leaving the zoo, I make my way through a tangle of tortuous lanes until I come to a wide stone highway.
Deserted.
No people, just the sprawling, soaring cityscape.
Faster than Gormenghast.
Gleaming steel, burnished bronze, polished marble, and iridescent glass.
Taller than the Tower of Flints.
Glinting in the sunlight.
Touching the clouds.
Clutching the flint in my pocket, my only talisman of the past, I wonder.
This world, my world, can both be true? What was that?
A speck of crimson. A thing. Without wings, but with incredible purpose and beauty, like a stiletto or a needle, comes from the far horizon and is gone.
What does it do?
Now the sky is filling with dozens of such things.
Fish of the water sky, threaders of moonbeams.
Godlike children of a diseased brain.
I don't understand. Makes no sense. How can such things exist? Watching me. You're watching me.
When and where did I cross the bridge between my realm and this?
And the stalkers, always there, always coming for me. Run! Run!
A huge building, a tower of olive-colored glass.
Nowhere.
Hey, where are you going? You got a pass? Come back! Stop it!
In here. Trapped. Bombers. What do they do? Up. Not possible. Which way? Be a way out.
Hours later, lying on my stomach on the warm glass of an open skylight, listening to the strange conversations. Words I am familiar with, but which make little or no sense. Drifting up from the people gathered below.
I'm looking so well these days. Even my husband said so. And you know what husband...
They are all here. The giraffe men and the hippopotamus men. The serpent ladies and the heron ladies. The crocodiles and the parrots. The tigers and the lambs. Vultures with pearls round their necks and bison in tails. Faces at every tilt and angle. 100 tongues wagging at once.
Oh, are you Dearest Juno, how wonderful that you are here.
Lady Cusp Canine, it is always a pleasure to be invited to your party.
How sweet of you to say so, Juno. And we have such a glittering gathering tonight. Do you know Mrs. Grass and Mr. Spill?
Oh, hello, do join us. Do talk to us. We need a steady brain. We are so pitifully emotional. Such babies.
Oh, well, I would hardly agree.
Oh, be quiet, Leonard. You are being a bore.
Well, if I am a bore, who made me so?
Well, who did, darling? It's
a long story.
Then we'll skip it, shall we? Now, Juno, isn't it? You simply must tell me all about it. Your life seems to be terrifyingly exciting, Mr. Akerblade.
More tedious than terrifying, I can assure you.
You don't expect us to believe that, Inspector.
Well,
tell us more about that young scoundrel you were following in the wasteland.
A strange youth. Sometimes he shouted out strange words, as though he was delirious.
What sort of words?
Names, possibly. Fuchsia was one. And Flay. Prune Squalor. Belgrove. Steer Pike. Sometimes he cried out, Mother. And once he fell on his knees and cried, Gormenghast, Gormenghast, come back to me.
Gormenghast. The youthful figure in rags, spread-eagled on the skylight, hears names that carry him back to a world that he has lost.
Damn them. How dare they? How dare they with their mocking disbelief? What little I have left to believe in.
So did you eventually manage to arrest the suspect?
It wasn't for me to arrest him, but to follow him. My superiors informed me his papers were not in order or even in existence.
Scandalous.
But one evening, the dust rose up more terribly than ever and blinded me so that I lost him in a red and gritty cloud. I could not find him. And I never found him again.
How monstrously frustrating.
What alarms me, Akerblade, is that there are so many of these undesirable characters around.
I share your concern.
I read somewhere that there are thousands of them living in some underground city.
Under river, they call it.
Vagrants, escaped prisoners, thieves, murderers.
Why is it tolerated, I'd like to know.
It is not. But the ways in and out are hidden, guarded. One day, we will penetrate it and flush them out.
Goodness, look at the time. Midnight, it can't be.
Time veritably gallops, my dear Juno.
Oh.
And what if it does? It cannot stop us having a wonderful time.
And where, Akerblade, do you suppose your suspect is now?
Unless he has stolen a plane, I'd say he must be somewhere in the city. The stalkers are looking for him now.
I would feel more comfortable if I had more confidence in those things. They never seem to be there when they are needed.
They are very efficient. There are two of them waiting outside right now. They will catch him eventually. They always do.
Must get out of here.
Shifting the weight off his elbow too suddenly, the glass cracks and gives. The figure of a flailing youth crashes the party in a shower of splintered glass.
Dear Juno, are you hurt?
Not at all. Just one of those little party mishaps.
Who the devil are you, boy?
What does that matter? Keep your distance. He's bleeding. Isn't that enough? Here, let me help you. We'll just tie this round your arm. I've always hated this dress.
You're very kind.
Not at all. What is your name?
Titus. I must have startled you.
Oh, well, Titus, it was rather a rapid introduction.
Did you hear what he said? I must have startled you. Why, you mongrel pup, you might have killed the lady.
Which one of you called me a mongrel pup? Who was it?
I can answer that.
Muzzlehatch!
Hello, Juno. Oh. I think it was this gentleman, wasn't it?
Leave me alone, let me down.
Let you down, certainly. I'll let you down. There.
Don't!
Be quiet. Now listen, children. Listen to Muzzlehatch, because he is not pleased with you. Pick your friend up from the floor and learn from him to keep your hands off this pipsqueak of a boy.
Let me through. He's no pipsqueak. I've been trailing this youth. He escaped me. He crossed the wilderness. He has no passport. He is wanted. Come here, young man.
What nonsense, Mr. Akerblade. Young Titus here is my friend.
Move aside, madam. I have a warrant for his arrest as a vagrant, an alien, an undesirable. I will summon my men and they will take him away.
beautiful policeman. You are exceeding your duty. This is a party, or it was, but you are making something vile out of it.
This is official police business, Muzzlehatch. What are you doing here? Hmm? I doubt you were invited.
On the contrary, Juno here invited myself and the young gentleman, isn't that right?
Of course.
They'll take me away.
Start making your way through the crowd. I'll follow you.
Understand? Yes.
Tell me, Acre Blade, don't you ever have a holiday from crime? Do you never love this world of ours, the wicked and the good of it, the thieves and the angels of it? Do you never consider that without the dark side of life, you would be out on your ear?
I must.
Passports, visas, identification papers. Does all this mean so much to your official mind that you must needs bring the filthy stink of it to a party? Open up the gates of your brain, policeman dear, and let a small sprat through.
Step aside, Muzzlehatch.
Listen, I have told you, he is my friend. And as for this nonsense about your following him through the wilderness, good heavens, you misconstrue the rags. He is in fancy dress.
Please allow me.
Run, Titus! I am right behind you!
After them!
Have my way, madam.
But your tie, Mr. Acreblade. You cannot possibly go like that. Let me adjust it for you.
Madam.
No. Don't move.
Let go!
Run, young rag of bones. They're after us.
I'm running. But where?
Pick a door. Anyone at random. Here. First time lucky. Quick. Inside.
You. Pitch black.
Good. Let's leave it that way.
Muzzlehatch.
They must have come down here. You go that way. I'll go this.
What are you doing here?
It's a good question. Almost as good as for me to ask you the same thing. But don't tell me, dear boy. Not yet. I would rather guess.
You have a rough manner. But you have saved me twice. Why are you helping me?
I have no idea. There must be something wrong with my brains. Quiet! Someone's coming.
He must be very hungry, that ragged boy from nowhere. Where would he be, I wonder? Somewhere in the dark with his friend, the wicked Muzzlehatch.
My sweet flame. What are you thinking of?
I brought you a tray of food. You are hungry, Titus?
Very.
Then eat.
How did you find us?
With our twistings and turnings and doublings back, we should, by rights, have shaken off the devil himself. But then you wander in as if you'd been a riding on my tail.
It was the boy who gave you both away. His feet were wet from all that wine that got spilled when he joined the party. They left a glister down the corridors.
What's a glister?
It's what his wet feet left behind. Where are your shoes, pilgrim child?
My shoes? In the river, I suppose.
Washed up he was. At dawn. Oh. Ain't that poetic? There he lay, stranded on the water steps like a dead fish. So I drove him home.
Why?
Because I had never seen anything so unlikely. Next day, I shooed him off. Away he went, a creature out of nowhere, as redundant as a candle in the sun. What happens next?
What?
He falls through a skylight and knocks to the ground one of the few women who ever interested me.
It was an accident.
And no harm done.
Oh, I noticed. Lying there with his head on your splendid bosom. For a little while, granted closeness to that tropical ravine between your midnight breasts, where I once lay.
Same old Muzzlehatch.
Anyway, now you've found us, Juno, my love trap. What do you want with us? Your old ardent lover and this fugitive boy, the Earl of Gorgonpaste, or whatever he calls himself.
You are almost as rude as I was hungry.
Oh, what is it, Titus?
What is it? I will tell you, madam. It is this bully's ignorance. Does he know who he is talking to? Does he know who I am? Do you?
Shh! How can we know about you, dear, if you won't tell us?
There, there. Stop shaking.
You want to get away from here, don't you?
Not with your help, Mr. Marrowpatch.
And to hell with your child.
I will take him.
No, let him go. He must learn.
Learn? Be damned. What do you know of life, of violence and guile, of madmen and subterfuge and treachery? My hands are sticky with blood. I have loved and killed in my kingdom.
Your kingdom?
Come on. Gorg and paste. Oh,
get your hands off me.
Out you go. Good luck and good riddance. Oh.
Let me in, you coward. Let me in.
Muzzle.
No, Juno.
Oh. I'm not trying to get away this time. Oh. Let go of me.
Oh, Muzzle Dove.
Juno, my love.
That boy.
Has he set a sparrow twittering in your breast or woken up a predatory condor?
I could have taken care of him.
You would have pounced too soon and sucked his blood, and he would never have forgiven you. Remember how you killed our love, my pretty vampire.
20 years ago? You swept me off my feet. What went wrong between us?
We broke against one another like waves on a rocky headland.
Titus.
What about him?
He reminds me of a younger you.
What if he does? Is that sufficient excuse to repeat the same mistakes?
What will they do to him?
It's more a case of what he will do to them.
I will ask you once again, young man. What is this Gormenghast of which you speak? What does it mean?
Having always been above the law, indeed having been the law, I now find myself brought before representatives of alien laws I cannot understand.
A courtroom. Dim light from a high window falls on the magistrate. Ancient, wrinkled like a tortoise, eyes as candid as grey glass.
Well?
Did you hear his worship's question?
I do not know what is meant by such a question. You might just as well ask me, what is this hand of mine? What does it mean? Forgive me, your worship, I cannot understand.
The prisoner insists that it is a place, your
worship. Yes, yes, thank you, Mr. Drug. But where is it? Tell us more about this place.
What can I tell you? It spreads in all directions. There is no end to it. Yet it seems to me now to have boundaries. It has sunlight and moonlight on its walls, just like this country. It has bells that chime, it has forests, and it has lakes, and it is full of people.
What kind of people, dear boy?
They have 2 legs each, your worship, and when they sing, they open their mouths, and when they cry, water falls from their eyes.
Silence, Picard!
I should not like to think that you are showing contempt of court.
Forgive me. I do not wish to be facetious. Yeah. But what can I say? What do you want of me? What have I done wrong? So my papers are out of order, are they? So is my brain and heart. I am in a foreign city, in a foreign land, and I am put in jail, your worship, as though I were a criminal. Me, Titus Groan, 77th Lord and heir to that name.
But there you go again.
It is my name.
What, Titus Groan, 77th Lord?
Why not?
Now listen to me, young man. Help me to help you. Tell me, what is the matter with you?
I would tell you if I could, sir. I only know that I have lost my way. It is not that I want to return to my home. I do not. It is that even if I wished to do so, I could not. I have lost my bearings, sir.
Did you run away, young man?
I rode away.
From Gormenghast?
Yes, your worship.
Leaving your mother?
Yes.
And your father?
No, not my father.
Ah, is he dead, dear boy?
Yes, your worship. He was eaten by owls.
Young man, this cannot be allowed to go on. Your answers, when they have been forthcoming, have been idiotic, nebulous, or fantastic. Your youth is no excuse. Do you like stamps?
Stamps, your worship.
Do you collect them?
No.
A pity. I have a rare collection rotting daily.
Yes, indeed. Yes, yes, I collected them as a child. Now, you must listen to me, young man. Yes, seems to me that you have...
In his pocket, Titus turns his flint over and over. His one last fragment of Gormenghast. Looking around, he sees Acreblade, the policeman, at the back of the court with two of the stalkers. There's no escape. But it seems he's not entirely without friends.
Juno, my lovebird.
Musseldove, my dear, I didn't expect to see you here.
Nor I. Why, I ask myself, should I be concerned with the comings and goings of this young vagabond?
And how do you answer?
Though it pains me to admit it because it annoys me greatly, I am interested in the fate and future of that enigmatic creature that I found half drowned at the waterside. And you?
He touches me. I am frightened for him. Is he a liar, a cunning child, or some kind of wild misfit?
Oh, what? Have the next prisoner brought up before the court, Mr. Drow.
The young man is already there, Your Worship.
What young man?
In the dock, Your Worship.
I seem to know his face.
Quite so, Your Worship. You were dealing with this case a short while ago.
I was. Yes. It is, returning to me. I've always had an excellent memory. Excellent memory. Well, think of a magistrate with no memory.
I'm thinking of it, Your Worship.
Vagrancy, wasn't that it, Mr. Drunk?
It was, sir. Vagrancy, damage, and trespass.
Yes, I remember. I seem to recall your mentioning your mother. Tell me about her, my boy.
She was a woman.
No, I will not have this levity. Is your mother alive?
Yes, Your Worship. Unless she has died.
No. When did you last see her?
Long ago.
Were you happy with her? You told us that you ran away.
I did not flee from her.
Then from what?
From my duty. My hereditary duty. I am the last of the line. I have betrayed my birthright. I have betrayed my home. I have run like a rat from Gormenghast. God have mercy on me.
Tell me, young man, do you dream at night? Have you lapses of memory? Are you a poet? Or is this, in fact, an elaborate joke?
A joke? Oh, God.
Very well. I have listened to all this, and I have come to some conclusions. Now, I take it you don't want to spend the rest of your life sleeping on the roofs of foreign towns, or worse, end up amongst the scum of our city, living in the devil's den of Underriver.
No, sir.
It seems to me that you are suffering from some illness of the mind, delusions of grandeur and so forth, and need to be kept under close observation for your own protection.
What are you suggesting, Your Worship?
Well, who are you?
I am a friend of the young man. Are you intending to commit him to an asylum?
No, asylum is an ugly word, Mr.
Musselhatch. They are ugly places.
A hospital is no doubt a more acceptable term, a place where a patient can be looked after and, if necessary, restrained. A place where experiment, studies can be carried out for the betterment of our society.
He is not mad.
Oh, knowing the prisoner, you think not.
No, sir. Titus Crone is no more mad than you or I.
Then the question remains, what am I to do with him?
Let me take him.
Who said that?
Me, Your Worship, Juno. Forgive me, but he is alone and resentful. Perhaps I can find out how best he could be helped. In the meantime, he is hungry, travel-stained, and tired.
Oh, I object, Your Worship!
Mr. Acreblade!
All that this lady says is true, Your Worship, but he is here on account of serious infringements of the law. We cannot afford to be sentimental!
Why not? His sins are not serious.
Now, with all due respect,
young man, it is not your vagrancy that troubles me. No. That is straightforward, though culpable. It is that you are rootless and obtuse and in need of help. Madam, do you wish to be responsible both for him and to me?
I take full responsibility, but there's one thing.
What is that, madam?
The young man's attitude. I will not take him with me unless he wishes it. Indeed, I cannot.
I see. Very well. Now listen, young man. This lady has offered to act as your guardian until you are well again. What do you say?
Thank you. Thank you, madam.
A tall building, dusty pink, standing alone and perfect, in a row of forsaken houses with smashed windows and broken doors.
We are here.
I feel as though I have woken from a nightmare. And you are the one who has awakened me.
I'm glad.
Those things, those...
Planes?
They fascinate me. Flying machines.
I was reading somewhere. The Silver Whip, I think it's called.
They are thrilling. The way they roar through the sky like... I don't know, what, like aerial leopards?
Come along. Titus, I want you to know that you are free in my house to do exactly what you like. To live as you please, how you please, when and where you please. Welcome to my home. To your home.
I don't know how to thank you, Juno.
Shall we go in?
Were you in love with Juno?
You might as well ask, was she in love with me?
Well,
how could it be otherwise? Fate had thrown us together. After a few days, before either of us had formed the remotest knowledge of one another's characters, we were aware that a world, a universe, had been brought into being. A world glimpsed through simple words, empty sentences that somehow set our pulses racing.
Brought you a drink.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Come and sit with me and enjoy this wonderful night sky.
You are very quiet tonight, Juno.
Am I? I suppose I am. Did you ever see such a huge moon?
Once. Just once.
Tell me.
It was my birthday. I had been carried, blindfolded, deep into the forest. When they uncovered my eyes, I was dazzled by moonlight sparkling on the vast waters of a lake, lying like snow on the surrounding forest and stained every shade of red by the flickering light of bonfires. It is time, a great voice cried. Let his birthday begin, for his lordship is 10. What a setting. Then, the giants... Four giant creatures, beautiful, extraordinary, towering 30 feet into the night sky, came stalking out of the forest shadows. Does this sound too wild?
Oh, perhaps. What were they, these creatures?
Masked actors on stilts. Stiff and exaggerated, but so eloquent, you know. The first wore a tall conical hat and had the head of a white lion with emerald eyes and a purple mane. Next came a wolf with a crimson head and pointed ears of the deepest azure.
Oh.
Then a horse with a melancholy expression, carrying a parasol, wearing a hat of basketwork hung with powder blue ribbons. Lastly, a lamb, a mass of pale golden curls topped with a silver crown.
How fantastical!
The drama, the wolf's pursuit of the lamb, thwarted by the noble lion and the foolish horse, was just another ritual. First played out, who knows how many hundreds of years ago.
I love your stories.
Memories. Or don't you believe me?
Of course I do.
Sorry. Remembering makes me so tired.
Go to bed, my love.
Yes. Yes, I will. Good night.
Good night, my dear Titus. Sweet dreams, my Titus grown.
What did I feel for Juno?
A variety of emotions, I imagine.
Excitement and arousal. Tenderness. Affection. Pity. The greedy pang of carnal desire, burning in my loins like ice, conflicting with a fear of being caught in the generous folds of love. A helpless love, fierce and loyal. I increasingly knew that the total of our relationship had to be brought into focus.
To bring it to a resolution.
Not to create the moment and do the deed in order to liberate love, but to end it, to kill it, to stab sweet love to death, to be free of it. It happened one afternoon, 4 months, almost to the day after I first set foot in her home.
Juno! Juno!
Juno's elegant sitting room. Outside the window, a watery light fills the sky, and autumn leaves are falling, fluttering, and twisting.
Juno!
So you thought you'd come back, my wicked one. Where have you been?
In hell, swigging blood and munching scorpions.
That must have been fun, my darling.
Not so. Hell is overrated.
Ah, but you escaped.
I caught a plane. It was the slenderest thing you ever saw. A million years slid by in half a minute. I sliced the sky in half. And all for what?
Well, what?
To return to you. May I come up?
Of course.
Stay. Stay where you are.
Don't go. Wait for me, Juno. I'm on my way.
And here I am, Titus the Fearless Flyer.
My intrepid aerialist. Watch your step. Good story. Have you hurt yourself? This is the second time you crashed at my feet. Is it symbolic?
Bound to be. Absolutely bound to be.
Let me help you up. Oh, my darling.
Yes.
I want to show you something.
What?
Come.
A room, remote, secret, peaceful, decorated in shades of ivory, ash, and coral red, filled with books and pictures, and suffused with autumn sunlight.
Why?
Why what, my spoiled one?
This unexpected room.
Do you like it?
Of course. Why the secrecy?
Secrecy?
I never knew it existed.
It doesn't really. Not when it's empty. It only comes to life when we are in it.
Who lit the fire? And don't say the goblins. Oh,
I will never mention goblins again. I lit it.
How sure you are of me?
Not really. I feel a nearness, that's all. Something holds us together. In spite of...
What? In spite of what?
In spite of everything. Our ages... difference between us.
Age doesn't matter.
Thank you, Titus, darling. Thank you.
The firelight dances. Two bodies send one shadow swarming over the carpet, climbing the wall of books, shaking with joy across the ceiling. The firelight flickers and grows dim.
Darling, you look so adorable.
Of course.
Sometimes I wonder why I take so much trouble over you, dear. But then I know a moment later that I have no choice. Nor have I. You touch me so, my cruel one. You know it, don't you?
You say I do, though. Why? God only knows.
Fishing. Shall I tell you what I mean?
Not now. Please.
Am I boring you? Just tell me if I am. Always tell me. And if you are angry with me, don't hide it. Just shout at me. I will understand. I want you to be yourself. Only yourself.
You have done so much for me. Don't think I'm callous, but...
What? What, Titus? What is it?
I must go.
Go? Where could you go? You do not belong outside. You are my own, my discovery, my mystery, my... Can't you understand? I love you, darling. Oh, Titus, I adore you.
Juno, you give me too much. It makes me ill. I cannot bear it.
I'm losing you. Titus... What is it I'm doing wrong?
There's nothing I can say.
Of course, I understand. Some things can never be expressed. They lie too deep.
I will never forget you, Juno. But I must go. Our love is too intense.
I'm a coward. I cannot take it. I am selfish, but not ungrateful. Forgive me, Juno. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, my mad, bad boy.
Make a blade.
Gorman Dasyus has left the house of the woman known as Juno.
Present location?
Not known.
Damn. Well, he's got no friends in the city other than that woman and Muzzlehatch. Alert the stalkers.
Yes, sir.
I'll order the new LKZ00572 to be sent out. He must be located and kept under surveillance. Understood?
Sir?
I'm walking down a deserted road, long and straight, between two high windowless walls.
A maze of streets crossing and intercutting, vaguely familiar, because they resemble the warren around Muzzlehatch's zoo.
I wanted to be alone. And now that I am, the old questions return. This flint in my pocket. A single stone. That's what I am. A chip of stone. But where is the mountain from which I broke away? Where is my home? Where is... What on earth? A sphere. A glass globe. Glowing, floating, hovering, spinning. Some new terrifying wonder of this place. I can see into it. Filled with wires. It's like an eye. Watching me. What are you looking at? What do you want? Go away! Can't get away from it! Leave me alone, do you hear? I've got to stop it. Put out the eye. My flint. Let it get closer. Then strike. Here it comes.
Well, by the grey fibres of the Exadnor tree, look who's here.
You've got to help me.
Of course, sweet Rebus. Should I be getting to my palsied feet, what with you in a fancy suit, the pattern of migraine? Juno's been spending money.
Muzzlehatch, I need to talk.
What about?
The globe. There was a floating globe. I don't know how else to describe it.
You don't need to. I know what they are.
Followed me. I used my flint. I broke the thing and ran. I forgot the flint, Muzzlehatch. I forgot it, and now I feel even more lost than before. It was my proof, cold and sharp and hard, the only proof I had of who I am and where I come from. Now I have nothing to convince myself that all this, here and now, us talking, that globe, is anything more than a dream.
You broke it, you say.
When I did it sighed. Why was it following me? What did it want? Why was it spying on me? Is it magic or science?
Have a brandy.
Yes. Have you seen the Muzzlehatch? What are they?
Just toys, boy. Here, to be played with by those dedicated men sometimes known as scientists. Toys, toys, toys. They can be as simple as an infant's rattle or complex as a man's brain. Others, such I suspect as the one you've smashed, are reputed to be almost human. Not quite, but almost.
I don't know who broke it.
What do you think, Dunderhead? You have broken something quite hideously efficient. You have blasphemed against the spirit of the age. You have shattered the very spearhead of advancement.
When they come after me...
Having committed this reactionary crime, you come to me. Me,
These globes have origins. Somewhere or other, there's a backroom boy, his soul working in the primordial dark of a diseased yet 60-horsepower brain. Of course they will know. Of course they will come.
There's something else.
I'm sure there is. There always is.
It is serious.
Everything is serious or not, according to the colour of your brain.
My brain is black.
Spit it out.
I have deserted Juno.
It had to happen. She's too good for males.
I thought you would hate me.
Why?
Or wasn't she your...
She was my everything. But like the damned creature that I inescapably am, and you clearly are too, I swapped her for freedom and for solitude that I now eat as though it was food. I still long for her, but I am too proud to admit it.
I loved her too, if you can believe it.
To be sure you did, my pretty cutlet. And you still do. But you are young and prickly, passionate and callow, so you deserted her.
Listen. What's that?
They're coming. You have destroyed a miracle. You were observed. Perhaps they found your damned flint. Perhaps they have seen us together. Perhaps this, perhaps that. You must disappear. Shift yourself. Move the table. The trapdoor. Help me lift it. Down the stairs into the wine cellar. Stay there. Don't make a sound.
What about you? What about your...
My animals. Let them but try to touch them. Now go. Go!
Phalanx of vehicles of curious designs, monstrous, thundering, impregnable machines, rolls into the cobbled courtyard of the zoo.
What do you want?
Gormenghast.
What does that mean?
The boy. The boy who says he is Gormenghast.
I don't know who or what you are talking about.
Titus Groan.
Is that you, Acre Blade? It is, isn't it?
He was here, Muzzle Hatch, we know.
There is no one here but myself.
Oh, and these animals. You, of course, have a license for the keeping of wildlife.
What the hell has that to do with you?
You would do well to cooperate.
Don't threaten me.
Where is Gormenghast?
I have told you I do not know what you are talking about. Now get off my land. What is that thing?
Progress.
What does it do?
Helps faulty memories. Now, where is Titus? Titus Groan of Gormenghast.
I have told you, I know nothing. No! My animals!
Will you tell us what we want to know?
I know nothing! Leave my animals! Bastards! Bloody bastards!
We will find you, and if you have lied, we will be back for you!
Muzzle Hatch.
I saw them die, Titus. Some kind of ray. I saw them roll over, heard the life flow out of them. My zoo has become an abattoir. My creatures. My poor creatures. Vital, sensuous, terrible. Look at them.
I'm sorry, Muzzle Hatch.
Yes.
But I have to go.
Go?
From you. From everyone. But for you, I would be dead. Is this vile of me?
Vile?
I cannot help it. You've got lions and tigers bleeding in your brain and revenge in your belly. I am too near you. I long to be alone. What shall I do?
Do what you like, boy. Skedaddle to the pole or scorch your bottom on the red equator for all I care. Do as you please.
Muzzle Hatch, please try to understand.
What is there to understand? Follow your instincts. That's why you left your so-called Gormenghast, wasn't it, eh? To find out what lay beyond the skyline.
So-called Gormenghast? God damn you, for you to say that, you... Do you think I've invented it all?
Perhaps not. I don't know. But do you want to return there after so short a journey? No. You must go on. Wade on, child. Get on with life. Eat it up. Make journeys in your mind. Make journeys on your feet. Revel in loneliness.
I grieve for you.
Grieve for these broken creatures?
I do. And Muzzlehead...
Yes?
Give my love to Juno.
Why? You've only just retracted it.
But...
Now go, for God's sake! And keep well out of the way of that vigilant policeman and his monstrous gadgets. They've got you in their sights, boy, and they'll not give up.
I'm sorry for everything.
Go!
I walked away. After the cacophony of death and destruction comes a curious silence, thick and heavy. I am filled with a great unhappiness. Then...
Hello there, Titus Crone. Prop up your chin, boy. We'll meet again, no doubt of it, one day.
Why not? Thank you forever.
Farewell, Titus. Farewell, my cocky boy. However will you manage without your old muzzle hatch to keep an eye on you?
In Titus Abroad, Episode 5 of The History of Titus Crone by Mervyn Peake, Titus was played by Luke Treadaway and the artist by David Warner. Muzzlehatch was Gerard Murphy, Juno, Maureen Beattie, Acreblade, Alan Raglan, Gertrude, Miranda Richardson, The Magistrate, Peter Policarpu, and Drug, Jonathan Forbes. Other parts were played by James Lely, Gerard McDermott, Elaine Claxton, and Susie Riddell. The music is by Roger Goela. The History of Titus Crone is dramatised by Brian Sibley, directed by David Hunter, and produced by Jeremy Mortimer.
There's another chance to hear this fifth episode of The History of Titus Crone on Saturday evening at 9 o'clock. Or you could catch up with all the episodes via the BBC Radio 4 website. Looking ahead to next Sunday, in the concluding episode, Titus incurs the spiteful revenge of a new lover and meets the artist who is his creator. That's The History of Titus Crone, our classic serial, next Sunday afternoon at 3. Back to today, and after the news, it's book club, and this month Donna Leon will be talking to James Naughtie and a group of readers about the first in her hugely successful crime series set in Venice, Death at La Fenice. That's in a couple of minutes.